Hey, Potters. Welcome to episode 291 of Cosplod, the podcast for all things cosplay.
Hello, Amber.
Happy spring, everyone.
Oh, happy early spring. It's technically not like until another 4 days on the calendar or something like that. It's spring. Like, no.
We have passed meteorological spring, which was the first of the month.
It's
we have not passed astronomical spring.
Yeah.
Which is in a few days.
Yeah. But we can just see from outside. It's already sprouted way too early. And funny enough that you mentioned that, not sponsored by the show, but I just happened to see an article posted by the Washington Post about how spring, it's not our imagination that it came early this year. It actually did come very early. And so somebody created a program where you could track the budding of leaves over the last 30 years. And you can see how fast spring has been coming over time. And it's like, it's really interesting to look at, but also, oh, that's why I've been really, really busy lately.
And we definitely want to send our thoughts out to those that were impacted by all the severe weather yesterday.
Yeah.
I saw there were a lot of damage reports on the news, a lot of injuries and buildings that had damage and such. And so our hearts definitely go out to those folks. And of course, we're also still in the middle of severe weather ourselves. So if the power goes out randomly in the middle of the podcast, that's why.
It's been unexpected because, again, spring came early. So all the weather and stuff has been churning up a lot sooner than normal for us.
Right. And with it being humid outside, you all know how Amber feels about humidity and going outside and doing things because paint and resin basically stop working.
Yes.
When you take them outside.
Nothing but humid everywhere.
I mean, it's great for the plants. It's not great for my cosplay. I mean, unless you're doing a cosplay that explicitly has to be out in the rain, like if you were doing the rain ninja from Naruto. Okay. Get that.
Maybe,
not rain.
Maybe
the mist clan.
Maybe a different weathering technique where you actually use the weather.
That's technically what weathering is. Using the weather to age prematurely a thing.
You're weathering your costume with weather, you know.
Of course. It just might take a really long time if you do it that way.
You know what? It's fine.
Unless, of course, you want to sprinkle salt on it. And that will probably accelerate the
process. That'll accelerate the process, yeah. Absolutely it would.
Or you can go the faster way and just get rust powder. You could just do it the easy way.
My favorite is burning it. I am not going to lie.
Sometimes I am all for the easy way.
Sometimes the easy way helps. Sometimes you just want to be as violent with the costume as possible. So if I can burn it, if I could run over it with my car or a bike, like, great, let's do it.
We are not advocating violence. Let's make that very clear. We are not advocating violence.
Just to my costume.
Speaking of doing things the easy way, why don't we get into cosplay updates?
Yeah, let's do that. Do you want to hop first or do you want me to do it?
Sure, because I was making a really nice segue into the thing that I've primarily been working on recently.
Perfect.
Doing things the easy way.
You do it.
Which involves Snap Tape, which I do not have and need to get at the store the next time I go.
Poo.
It's one of those few things. It's one of the few notions I don't keep on hand because I don't use it often enough to keep it on hand. And so the next time I go to the store, it's actually on my shopping list for what I have to get, along with a couple of other just replacement supplies. Like I've run out of, or come really close to running out of Fabri-Tac. But you'll see, this is not a pile of fabric this time. And you'll notice that this is cut a very specific way because this is a petal sleeve. And this is for one of my Athena petal sleeves that's going to go under here. In fact, the reason I need the Snap Tape, because this bracelet, it's going to go on the inside like this.
Gotcha.
I have it the wrong way. It goes like this. So if I were to hold it up on the inside, you'll see it kind of has that Grecian effect of having the nice drapey sleeve underneath. And it sits inside the bracelet, but it's going to sit inside here on the inside right here with Snap Tape.
Very cool.
Because that way I can remove it and I can launder this. You do not want to launder this.
Ding.
Please do not throw these in the washing machine. It does not go well. It doesn't end well. But that's what I'm going to be doing with this. And a happy accident, all credit to Bob Ross for happy little accidents. Originally, I had wanted this to be the length of like maybe my elbow or like my bicep right above it to my wrist. And I thought, okay, that's a good length. That's about 15 inches. So I cut this to 15 inches. But apparently I didn't account for hemming and seams. And so it ends up being about 3 inches shorter than that when I get this up on my bicep fully, which I'm going to have to add another layer of foam inside because Amber has lost some muscle and her biceps are not quite as large as they used to be when I made this. But this ended up being a little bit shorter, but that actually ended up being better because I found that when I was doing a wearing test, a cosplay test around my apartment, that it prevented this from getting in the way of things.
Oh, good.
Because it was higher up on my arm. So I didn't have to worry about it interfering with what I was holding or getting caught in things. And because this is wedding satin, I really don't want it caught in things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it ended up being a happy little accident. And so the other thing that I did, aside from needing to get the snap tape, was that I made the hemming tape for it so that I can hem the bottom. And this is the same satin, but it's using the Jacquard Lumiere Gold. So that I use fabric paint. So that I wouldn't have to buy new fabric because I wanted to use up what I had, which is the whole point of this costume. And you can see that it's fraying like nobody's business. Mm. You see all the little threads everywhere, which I have to cut off. And I have to heat set it. If you ever use fabric paint, make sure you look at the label because some of them you have to heat set or they don't actually set and they will wash off in the wash.
Mm-hmm.
You do not want that after all the hard work you put into it. I wasn't even sure if I wanted this to be gold. I was originally going to just line it in plain satin the way I had it. And I was like, you know, I kind of want a contrast.
Yeah.
And so that's why I painted it gold. And it'll soften up. Right now it's really stiff, but it'll soften up when I heat set.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so this will go around the bottom edge so that it'll be nice and pretty, white and gold color scheme. And then I will attach it to the bracelet with snap tape and I will be done.
Yay!
Huzzah! And that will make me very happy. And you all may remember I was working on the fabric kanzashi for the hairpiece for Athena. I want to show you that sometimes things just go terribly wrong.
Oh my.
That's how it turned out the Oof. First time.
Well,
I will promise you every one of those petals was the same size when I started. And it didn't turn out that way. So I've started redoing the petals. These look much nicer. These are all nice and puffy. And you can see I have a little quilt clip that's holding the glued tip. So I'm going to make a bunch of these instead.
Oops.
And I'm going to throw this away and pretend it never existed. This goes to show you that even after years and years and years of working on cosplay, you can still mess up. And you can still have things turn out much to my dissatisfaction.
Questionable.
Questionable is a great word for it, yes. That's what I've been able to accomplish in the last little bit.
Nice! Well, congratulations on that. That's a lot of stuff to get done.
It's getting there.
Yeah. All right, my turn. I have something to present. This may shock you all because I know it's been many, many months since I've actually shared anything, but I actually have something to present that is finished, finally. And I took it off my table. Everything has been cleaned and laundered, and I can use it again for other stuff. My book, which is so big that I can't show it all on screen. Don't worry, hold up. I got a picture of this to make everything easier for everybody. There you go. The book is done. And she's so pretty, and she's so light, and she's just great. I just finally was like, you know what? I need to get these dumb birds done. Whatever it takes, I just need to get the birds done because I want my table back. That's really all it was. I wanted my stinking table back. And you get to a point with anything that you're making, it's like it takes up the entire space, even if you only have this one tiny little thing that you're working on. And I didn't want to move any of it and disturb it because I also had like a specific color order for my paint. And I didn't want to move the paint and forget the color order. I could have written it down, sure. Did I? No, because I'm human. I was never going to do that. Took a weekend. And I said, I'm going to finish these dumb birds. I'm going to get them attached to the outside casing. Everything's going to come together and we're going to be great. It'll be done and I will be a happy little camper. And it's done. I am so happy by that. It's just, it's greatness. I love this. It is a very big stinking book, but I love it. I love the fact that it's so lightweight. That's the thing that I'm very happy about. And that was my entire goal. It is 99% foam.
The bronzing turned out really well.
It did. Funny enough, I actually gave this another coat because for some reason it kept photographing too dark, but in person it looked fine. So I was like, you know what? Just for safety's sake, I'm going to do another coat on top of it. And it looks about the same, but it looks better in photos now. That was my major concern. So I'm like, okay, so now it doesn't look so funky. But yay! The Book of the Dead is done! And I now want to make another book. Go fig. I have issues.
You know, I hear there's a series called Death Note.
I don't want to do Death Note because I don't like Death Note. No, I'm looking at possibly making the Necromancy of Thay from Baldur's Gate 3. It's got that, just the weird skin texture vibe on front of it, but it's very leather looking. And I've done a lot of fake leather looks before that I'm like, ooh, this could be a lot of fun to put together. Like maybe sculpt the whole thing out of foam clay and then cover it and then do a lot of that de-stressing with it. I think that would be really cool. So I might do that one next. So yes, done. Which means I can start working on other things. I don't know what this is going to be yet. It literally was, I'm going to start draping and then I'm going to put some stuff together and see what happens. I don't know.
Looking for inspo.
It's inspiration. That's what it is. And I just got a thing going and I was pinning and tucking and I'm like, ooh, I can do this and I can do that. I also bought a lot of fabric because after one cleans out their fabric drawers, they obviously need to buy more fabric, right?
Well, yeah, it becomes an empty space, which then has to be filled.
It has to be filled with more stuff. So here, I have the pile of fabric this time. Amber does not. I do. Woo-hoo! It's all very nice fabric too. It's a lot of
Amber approved.
A lot of silk. A lot of silk that I got on sale. Wink! $5.99 a yard, baby! So yeah, there you go. I also have more fabric down here that you cannot see, but we'll immediately go back into the cupboard once we're done with this. But it's nice to be able to just pull out the dress form and like drape stuff and be like, okay, I'm back to sewing. No more prop making because I don't want to make another prop right now. That only took me what? When did I start working on that? It was post AllCon last year. So it's been almost a year in the making.
I mean, my Athena's been even longer than a year, mostly because I just take forever to make progress. And when I do make progress, I'm dissatisfied with the progress. So I take it all back apart and then I have to redo it.
You have to redo
every
it.
Time I just go through that loop over and over and over again.
But you had multiple pieces going on. I was only working on the book.
Oh, yeah. I had a good, like, 5 or 6 different work streams going on at once.
I made those dumb birds 3 times. This is attempt number 3. And I just was like, because I kept wanting to sculpt it at first. And I was like, sculpt.
The charm.
Yeah. And third time really was the charm because I wanted to keep sculpting. And I was like, okay, if I just do this, it'll be great. But it just never came out quite right. And I finally just said, fudge it. I'm going to layer foam together because that's what I've done for everything else in this book. And it worked. And I was like, I'm happy enough. It's not perfect, but it works. I will take it. So yes, the book is done. I'm very happy. It's going back on the shelf. My table is back. The wonderful ironing cover has had quite a few paint stains, so it had to get laundered, but this is back. I'm ready to start sewing again. I'm very much looking forward to sewing. That is the key thing that I want to focus on now.
I understand. And that's usually why I have so many different pieces of my cosplays going at once, is because my cosplays usually involve a bunch of different disciplines. So when I get tired of sewing, I'll move over to prop making.
Sure.
When I get tired of prop making, I move to armor. And so I basically just bounce, 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 bounce between all the different things whenever I get bored or if I'm waiting on something to, like, adhesive to dry or paint to dry, or I have to wait for a hem to set for 24 hours or whatever it is I'm working on. Because I don't just want to sit there and not have anything to work on. That's the worst.
Yeah. And I guess for me, it's, I get very hyper-focused on a thing. And I need to finish it before I move on to the next part. I feel weird having too many things going on at the same time, because then it just becomes abandoned projects and I don't like doing that.
I think we both just kind of, we have the same drive. We just kind of work on it in different ways.
Exactly. Our brains are thinking differently in how we want to tackle a project.
Yes.
All ways are valid.
Correct.
But yes, This beauty is done. My cosplay updates are done. Maybe I'll have a full costume for you all next time, because at this point I'm like, I can whip through sewing like crazy. Let's do it.
You said whip through sewing. Punny.
Punny. Ayo. It's Friday and I'm very tired and I had a very long work week. A few things may just slip out for puns, because that's what tends to happen with my brain.
This is when we get the best kind of puns.
Yeah!
Tired puns are best puns.
Tired puns are absolutely the best puns. I can assure you of this.
All right, shall we move into our news? We have so many news articles or news items.
We have so much to share this time because a lot of things have happened within the last 3 weeks. It's been a little cray-cray.
That's a very big understatement, I think. All right, shall we start at the top of the list?
Let's start at the top of the list. You go in first and we'll kind of tag team it.
Awesome. You all may have seen in the news that Joann Fabrics may be filing bankruptcy. Now, this is not confirmed, so we're not saying any of this is like set in stone factual.
Right.
Just that there have been many media stories that have opined on kind of the status of Joann's financially as a company, and that they may be looking to close a lot of stores that may not be performing as well. Let's put it that way. And I'm sure there are many reasons for this. Mm-hmm. You know, pandemic did a number on pretty much everybody. People's tastes have changed and hobbies and that sort of thing. A lot of crafters that were doing, say, anime costumes for conventions. Well, a lot of conventions have closed their doors, so maybe there's not as many people doing it anymore, not as much demand for patterns. Like, these are just all examples of things that all could be feeding into it. But the end result is we may be losing some craft stores.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very sad. I can see why they might not have been performing as well, but I was also a pretty consistent customer.
Sure.
And it's like, well, that kind of basically leaves me Hobby Lobby and Michael's as the only craft stores that are anywhere close. If I went a lot further into downtown, I might be able to find some art and craft stores, but most of what's around me are the chain stores.
Yeah.
Like Joann's, like Michael's, like Hobby Lobby, that sort of thing. So I am sad.
Yeah. So it's a good thing to important to note is that Chapter 11 bankruptcy does not mean that the business is shutting down. That's not at all what it means. There are quite a number of businesses in American history that filed for Chapter 11 and they were able to bounce back without issue. Basically what Chapter 11 is it gives Joann's an extension on owing money back to their creditors and allows them to continue operating business. A judge does have to go through and approve their plan before they're allowed to do any of this. The creditors have to be okay with it. And the creditors actually prefer that a company files Chapter 11 instead of just shutting down, because then they get some, if not all, of their money back. And in some rare cases, they actually get more money back because of interest and whatnot. So it doesn't mean that it's going away, but
there's a business. Some of their stores will.
Yeah, more than likely they're going to end up closing businesses that are underperforming, or if they're in a location that has really high rent and they're like, we're just not going to renew the rent and we're just going to go ahead and shut down. Like, that's a possibility too. It's probably going to affect a lot of smaller cities or very underpopulated cities, unfortunately, which really is a big bummer because we know that they have 850 plus locations. So they are literally the biggest chain craft store. And if they're gone from a city, the options for people there are going to be next to nothing. And that's really unfortunate. It's going to leave a lot of people out of the crafting experience as well as the crafting knowledge, because Joann's isn't just a store. It also held classes. You were able to go in and learn new things about new techniques or new hobbies that you didn't know before and pick up something different. And that was kind of cool.
And I realized that online entirely now, they'll shop at online craft stores.
Me.
Which definitely understand. And I know that there have been some concerns with Joann shopping online and picking it up and such. I won't get into that because we'll have a soapbox episode.
I have stories.
what I was going to mention is that there is still some desire among a lot of people to be able to walk into a store and touch the things that they're buying.
Yeah, absolutely.
When it comes to fabric.
Absolutely.
Because you can't really see drape online unless someone has a video, and most places don't have videos of their fabric. or if you want to see what color it is without having to depend on your monitor being accurate and right. showing the right color, especially if you're trying to color match. There are many reasons why you may just want to go in person to pick up something from the store, and when you have storefronts closed, it's a lot harder to do that, because then you end up having to order online and just hope that you're getting the right thing, because if not, then you have to send it back, which takes extra time, and then basically do the shopping all over again. It's just not very convenient.
And we also need to be aware that depending on where you live, some places don't ship out there, unfortunately. True. There's still quite a number of places in this country that are considered rural, and therefore UPS, FedEx, DHL won't ship there, and good luck getting USPS to come out there on a timely manner. So for some people, literally, if Joann's closes, they're out. And that's really mm-hmm. unfortunate. They're going to be stuck dealing with delays and delays and delays on mailing systems and hoping for the best. It's like, oh no. You just hope that there's a mom mm-hmm. and pop craft store in the area to at least help take off some of the load.
True. And also with Joann's, you can always depend on pretty consistent coupons. Whereas yeah. online, you're kind of at the mercy of whenever sales are. Now, I'm setting aside the argument on whether something is priced correctly before the coupon to begin
sure.
with.
Sure.
Setting that aside, that's also a hot topic.
We've talked about it before.
At least I would know that if I have a 50% off coupon that's pretty universally available to me, like 360 days a year, mm-hmm. then at least I can go and just say, okay, I have half off. I'm going to get this thing, and I know it's going to be half off.
Right.
I don't have that surety online. But then again, online, it may just be cheaper, generally speaking, even without a coupon. So it's just kind yeah. of give and take. Preference is preference.
Yeah. For me, Joann's possibly filing for bankruptcy does not surprise me, because I've noticed that my interest in the store has really drastically diverted over the years, because I have not been happy with the quality. And you can tell that they've been understaffing and overworking people. And it's just what Joann's used to be is not there anymore. So I've just been kind of sliding myself over to Michael's instead. And though Michael's doesn't really carry fabric, I've been able to pick up other craft supplies. Pretty much all my fabric shopping I do online now, because I get better quality for better prices. And I don't have to deal with spending 2 hours in Joann's waiting for checkout for fabric right. that they don't even carry.
Exactly. There's a lot more variety available to you online than there ever would be with Joann's.
Exactly.
Yeah, understandable.
I know there's plenty of reasons, but it does suck. I do feel really bad for the people that depend on Joann's for all their crafting needs, or like you think about small businesses that do like their own knitting and crochet projects at home, and they sell it online on Etsy, and they rely on Joann's for the yarn. Their store goes under, that might dig big time into their own personal revenue. Like, well, if I try to do all this online stuff, it just adds $30 more to the cost of everything. Is that worth it? Yeah.
And sometimes it adds extra time, because yeah. you have to wait on shipping if you're not willing to pay for the privilege of same day shipping.
Exactly.
Two day shipping. Whereas Joann's, I can drive over there, grab it same day.
And be home. Done. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we will wait and see. Again, none of this is confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
These are all still mostly just kind of rumors in the media right now that are being reported.
Yeah, it was reported initially from Bloomberg, and which is pretty good about reporting that type of thing, and said that someone on the inside had mentioned that there was a possibility of it happening this week, given that it's
right.
Friday, 7:28 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it hasn't happened yet. Not going to be this week, methinks. But they could still always file the paperwork within the coming days, the coming weeks.
Right. I just wanted to make sure that we were making clear, like, none of this right. is for sure, because Joann's themselves haven't come out and made a statement yet.
Exactly. They haven't said anything.
Yep. And speaking of making things for potential conventions, why don't we talk about all the convention drama that's been going on lately?
Good gravy. Oh. So we've had one con postponement and one con cancellation. ACON, Project ACON, which is one of the largest and longest running anime conventions in the South.
It is the longest
running. It is definitely the longest running in the country, but one of the largest in the South.
Yes.
They are postponing so far this year because of financial situations. And on that same breath, Anime Next has actually posted that they're canceling because of financial situations. And that seems to be a growing trend this year. A lot of cons are postponing, or they're shrinking their sizes, or they're canceling outright because of finances. And I notice a bunch of my friends who are vendors for cons are feeling it too. Like, cons are just really getting short on people. And it's hard to recoup the money invested to having those tables and those vendor booths. It's like, oh, this is not going well.
And to kind of, I'm not going to speculate on why.
Yeah.
With finances and such. So I'm actually going to kind of flip this on his head and look at it as an attendee.
Okay.
Because these are things that I'd want to be attending normally.
Normally.
But if I look at kind of the economy generally speaking, so I'm not going to say like anyone's specific situation, but generally speaking, a lot of people are probably pulling back on extraneous spending right now, right?
Yeah, the first thing,
and that includes things like conventions.
Yeah, the first thing, every economist will tell you this, and there's billions of studies out there, okay, not billions, maybe a couple thousand, mm-hmm. that literally say
there are many
studies out there that very literally say the first thing that people will cut back on spending is travel and leisure. Going to a convention is considered travel and leisure.
Yep. And with the need to try and keep making the same income with less people coming to spend and stay at your con and buy merch, buy tickets, that sort of thing, when you have less people putting money into the pot, you have to raise your prices to keep the pot at the same level. And I'm speaking of the pot of money, because conventions have a certain level of income they have to make to survive as a con, because you have to pay your staff, your employees, you have to pay rent for the convention center, you have to pay to bring in food services, you have to pay to bring in voice actors and guests. Like, there are expenses that have to be covered at a minimum. And so when the prices go up, well, unless my disposable income went up by that amount, chances are good that I'm going to consider that another leisure expense, and I'm going to cut it out of my budget as an attendee. And I have a feeling that a lot of attendees, even if you're not necessarily cutting back on your local con, maybe you're cutting back on your con schedule for the year. Instead of attending 5 cons, maybe now you're attending 3, because those 3 now cost as much to attend as the 5 did, especially when you factor in that not only are ticket prices going up, which some cons are really charging for those weekend prices, man.
Some of them are really expensive. Oof.
But hotels are also going up.
Yep.
Flights are going up.
Food's up.
Rental cars are going up. Parking is going up. Food is going up. Whether you bring it, whether you make it in your hotel, or you buy it at the restaurant, everything is increasing in price.
Yep.
And so it's like, what am I to do as an attendee when I have a budget that I've set aside for the year and said, I have X amount of money to go to cons and have fun this year? That budget is not going up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I can only spend what I've got. And so when conventions have less money coming in, they've got to make the same decisions that attendees do.
Yep.
And so I honestly don't even really know the solution to this, because I know that there have been exhortations on social media where they're like, we need people to come to cons or the cons are going to die off because no one's spending money. It's like, I've only got so much disposable income. What do you want me to do?
Right. And unfortunately, I mean, this is something that we've talked about before, is if it's a convention where we want to see changes and we want to see better changes, if we go to spend money at the con and they haven't made the changes, we're reinforcing them to continue the way that they're going. So we're sending them the wrong message. We're specifically not going to that con because we want to see changes and we don't want to pay that price. Mm-hmm. I don't want to reinforce the negative message.
Or that we can't,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to an extent, any changes that are made aren't going to make everyone happy.
No.
That's the long and short of it.
That's the reality.
So, for example, if they downsize to a different venue, that's going to make certain people happy, certain people not. If they change hotels, again, some people happy, some people not so much. So it's kind of that balancing game. And as an attendee, it's the same way, where when I have to decide what cons I want to go to, I'm looking for certain things at cons, and everyone looks for different things at the cons they go to. Some people go for panels.
Yep.
Some people go for guests. Some people go for the concerts. Some people go for the gaming. And so if a con makes changes that don't jive with what I want out of a con, then I'm probably going to start looking at other cons that have those things.
Mm-hmm.
But with cons starting to delay themselves or postpone themselves, as an attendee, my choices are becoming very slim.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be, at least in Texas for sure, almost every other weekend there was a con happening somewhere.
Oh, every weekend. It was literally every weekend. We had one of the busiest schedules, yeah. But we also have a really big state, so that obviously there's something happening right. Everywhere.
But it's no longer that way.
No, 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 no.
And so with there being less choices, then I also have less choices for where my funds could go mm-hmm. as a con and whether or not I can afford it. And there's also the elephant in the room, which is getting time off. And sometimes that's easier said than done for certain occupations, especially those who work in retail.
Sure.
And it can be very difficult, especially when cons start moving weekends, because you can't always get the same weekend every year for a convention. Sometimes they just have to move. Somebody else has the convention center that weekend. And like, I've run into that problem with Scarborough Fair.
Sure.
Where if you move weekends, it's like, but I can't get off that weekend.
Yeah.
So then you can't go.
You just don't
so
go.
The con doesn't get your money that weekend.
Yeah.
So I honestly don't know how to fix the situation.
It's, it's nothing that we can fix. It's a lot of internal issues that they got to resolve, and they need to be better about listening to attendee feedback instead of just continuing to go with the flow. I think a lot of cons need to start realizing that just going back to the old ways before the pandemic is not going to cut it anymore, because things have shifted. We have all changed. The economy has changed. They need to adjust to newer preferences. Yes, they're going to lose some attendees in the process, but they're going to gain a whole lot more. So they just need to take the time to really think, reorganize, and implement a plan that will get people into the doors. And financial issues are a stress bubble. It's always a challenge. It's not something that can easily be overcome, but it can be done, you know, if they just think about what their planning is and shift their funds around. You know, maybe if ACON does end up coming up again later in the year, maybe they pop up in November, mm-hmm. December, maybe they just mm-hmm. need to do a mini version, downsize it.
Yes. And a lot of cons have done mini versions successfully before.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that can be a great alternative. Plus, if you have it during different times of year, more people might be able to go. A con in Texas in June, during the hottest or one of the hottest parts of the year, may discourage people from going. But if you have a mini con in, say, October,
yeah, I go.
It's more reasonable, more people are probably willing to go. You won't become a puddle in your cosplay.
Yeah.
A literal puddle in some places.
Listen, can I have a request for all Texas conventions? Please stop having events from late May to end of August.
September.
I know that's a big ask, but it is too dang hot outside and I just cannot do it. I am too old for that crap.
And we realize the majority of those cons are indoors. The problem, though, is that AC just can't always keep up.
No, it can't keep up with all those bodies.
And we have been to cons where the AC in the hotel broke
multiple times.
During the summer, and it was not the most pleasant con experience we've ever had, let's put it that way.
And it wasn't during the 100 degree days that we've been getting as of late. This was like when it was still right. 91, 92 degrees. Still awful, still terrible. I can't imagine doing it in 100 plus. I would be like, I'm gone. I'm in my car. I'm going home.
Oh, yeah. And that's with all of the crowding that comes with your standard convention, too.
Absolutely.
Because nobody thought the AC was going to break, so they came to the con like normal.
Ayo!
But speaking of income and making things and having discretionary spending ability, the last thing that I wanted to bring up in the news, and this wasn't so much a news article, but just something that I had observed, was watching the Emerald City Comic Con Crown Cosplay Contest, which I am given to understand is only one of their cosplay contests. It's not like their only one.
There's multiples of them, and I get confused on how that system works, so I don't know the whole thing.
But I had two thoughts as I was watching it, and these are not criticisms of the con whatsoever. It's more of me reflecting on how we as a community have chosen to run our contests and how we want our contests run.
Mm.
So it's more of kind of reflecting on the process. Because one of the things that I noticed in the announcements of the winners of the categories, and especially of the overall winners, is that the overall winners were all very skilled in multidisciplinary areas.
Mm-hmm.
So you wouldn't have a winner that was ever just good at makeup, just good at wig styling, just good at armor, sewing. All of the winners, every single one of them in the main category, showed expertise in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not enough anymore to win cosplay contests to be an expert in one of those things, or even two of those things.
It's got to be almost everything.
Which to me is very frustrating in a way, because not everyone can be good at everything. And I don't mean this as any sort of criticism of anyone's ability. It's more like, generally speaking, you'll only end up being a master of one or two things. But I think the expectation is becoming that you have to have mastered all of the things. And that takes money. It takes time. It takes high quality tools, because yes, your tools do make a massive difference in what you can and cannot do. It takes high quality materials, which, like the tools, makes a huge difference, and not everybody has access to those things, and not everybody's even inclined towards those things.
Yep.
Like, I'm not inclined to makeup at all. Even if I were to sit there and practice, yeah, I could probably become pretty good. Would I ever master it? No, because I'm not inclined toward it. My skills lie in other things, like detail work, like prop making and armoring. I'm not even that great of a seamstress, to be honest. So I can't master all the things, but that seems to be becoming an expectation, and I'm not sure I like it.
I'm going to 100% agree with you on this. It's definitely become an expectation. And it was one of the things that I liked about TwitchCon's contest was they had different categories for sewing, armor, makeup, special effects. And I was like, that's really cool. You could just focus on that one discipline. Yeah, you integrate other elements because you want to become the character. But I was like, that's cool, and I would like to do more of that. Obviously, it's not something that we could have ever done because our pool was a little bit more limited compared to what TwitchCon had. But it would be nice to have cosplay contests shift in that direction more so, because it's just not feasible to have any one person be an expert at everything unless they have the time and the income to put forth and do that. It would immediately make things so totally unbalanced.
And to be fair to Emerald City, they had those categories. They had a winner in sewing. They had a winner in armoring. They had a winner in FX. And every single one of them, I'd agree, those were the top of their categories. The winners were well chosen. I only run into the problem when I go towards the general category. And then it's like, well, does that mean that the best in sewing couldn't have won best in show because they didn't show these other disciplines? I don't know. It's not something I'm saying is right or wrong. I'm just not sure if we're going about this the right way, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. I've seen this discourse a lot on the Bluebird app. Anytime a big contest comes up and it's like, are we pushing ourselves to the point where we have to master everything? Do we need to start cobbling our own shoes? Which that in itself, that's like a lifelong skill that requires an immense amount of time and patience to learn. It's not something you can pick up overnight, but we're getting to that point where it's like, you literally have to make every single piece of your costume from scratch. And it's like, I don't think we can't do that. No.
Right. I mean, we're getting to the point where everything has to be machined perfectly. It has to be painted and dyed perfectly. Everything has to be molded perfectly. It's like, maybe we're starting to expect a little too much out of our cosplay.
It's a little much. And
this is supposed to be fun.
That's the thing. It's taking away the fun and the play of cosplay. It's becoming a little bit too much of an elite thing where only a select few will be able to compete because they know and they can experience and they can do everything because they've got the time and the money and the resources. And eliminates everybody else that wants to join in. And like, well, No, cosplay is for everybody. It's about inclusion, mm-hmm. not exclusion. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that includes every skill level.
Absolutely, 100%.
And speaking of inclusion and elite skill levels, the other thing that I noticed, and again, not a criticism of the con. I want that to be very clear before I start speaking about this. The prize money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not unique to them. This is for any cosplay contest. The prize money these days is starting to become not enough to cover the cost of the cosplay. In other words, if I have a top prize of $250, then theoretically, for that to be a prize to me, then I should have spent less than $250 making that costume,
mm-hmm.
right? Because otherwise I wouldn't have won anything. It would have, I would have had sunk cost. It would have had to just reimburse me for everything I put into it. But at the same time, for you to win these contests nowadays, those folks are spending hundreds of dollars, minimum.
Sometimes thousands.
If not thousands.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's like, the prize money just can't keep up with what it takes to make an award-winning cosplay. So it's kind of, again, in that same vein where are we expecting too much? Are we expecting people to spend X amount of money, even if we don't name a base minimum? Clearly, with the quality you're expecting a certain base amount of money to be spent on these costumes. And people who are spending $50, $100 on their costumes aren't able to win. They're not able to compete at that level, which means they're not eligible for that prize money, which would really help them get reimbursed and have money on top of that to start putting into their next cosplay and invest, get better tools, get better materials, like have that step up. So kind of in that same way I'm reflecting, and I don't even know if it's something we can change, because I know that from our experience, cosplay contests have a budget.
Mm-hmm.
They have a certain amount of money they can spend, and that's it. You don't get more.
Not without a bunch of sponsors.
Exactly. And it's like, well, what can we do when we gotten to the point where the prize money isn't enough to even reimburse you? And that's just for the materials. I'm not counting the time.
Yeah, I was going to say time itself should be its own. Like, you need to add that into.
Be massive.
Yeah. Because there are some costumes I got sitting in there that are 200 plus hours of work.
Mm-hmm.
$250 is not enough to cover that.
Right. And it may incentivize people, or I guess in this case, disincentivize people to compete if the prize money isn't worth what they had to put into that costume.
Mm-hmm.
And that may actually hurt our cosplay competitions to an extent, because it's exclusionary,
yeah.
for one. And there is a counter argument to be made where, well, that would open it up to more up and coming cosplayers, people who don't have the resources or that kind of income to compete. And it's like, yes, but you also want to allow people of all skill levels to compete. And so if you have someone of advanced skill, I don't want to be shutting them out just because they happen to have more resources.
Right.
They should be allowed to walk the stage too.
Absolutely, 100%.
So this is, again, it's something I'm not really sure how to solve or if we can solve it. It's just something that I've been thinking about as I watched that video of the cosplay contest.
Mm-hmm.
So something to think about for future cosplay contests. If anybody who runs these is watching this, or anybody who goes to cosplay contests, if you have feedback on these sorts of things, please give it to the con. If you don't say anything, they won't know.
Yeah. They can't make any changes unless they know something's up.
Exactly. And they can always choose not to make changes.
Oh, yeah.
But they have to have that feedback in the first place to be able to make that decision.
Exactly.
So reach out if you have something to say about how your local cosplay contest is run. And that is all I will say about that. All right. On to our next thing.
That was the news category.
We made it.
We made it. We made it through the news section.
We did.
So we're going to go into tutorial mode now. Woohoo! And this one is coming from me. Hooray. It took me many hours to film, many days to film. Let me correct myself. Many days to record and many days to edit. But I got it ready for you all here. Something that we should have done probably from the very beginning, but I'm kind of glad that we didn't, because we could have given you a much better tutorial. So we're going to show you some easy posing tips. that are meant for anybody at any place at any time, whether you're in the hallway, whether you're doing a professional photo shoot, if you're on stage at a cosplay contest, these tips are here for you. So I hope you enjoy. Let's get posing. This guide is accessible to all body types. Make adjustments as you like to fit your comfort and needs. I'll be breaking this down into two sections, body and face, so you can get the most out of your cosplay posing. Always make triangles with your body. The easiest way to help your photo stand out is to create triangles. Standing straight onto the camera like a wooden plank is dull and uninspiring. It also makes your body look wider than it actually is. You can start with something as easy as putting your hand on your hip. You're creating a simple triangle shape with your arm that provides visual interest. The classic superhero pose is an easy move for everyone to try. Spread your legs so your feet are shoulder length apart, with your hands on your hips. With that, you've made three triangles. There are plenty of ways to make triangles. Place a hand on your head. If you are flexible, use your legs and do the yoga mountain pose. The goal here is to create gaps between your body. This enhances the illusion of height, weight, and other features that you may wish to curtail in your pictures. For example, with your arms, if you keep them close to your body, it can make them look larger. Making triangles visually slims your arms and body. Pose at an angle. Similar to triangles, when posing straight to camera, it's not interesting to the viewer. There's no feeling of movement and it doesn't look natural. Posing straight to camera will enhance features we wish to de-emphasize. Adjusting your body at 45 degrees so it's not directly facing the camera adds depth to the image. This will also instantly slim your body. When you add triangles to this, you can better balance out your body shape. You do not need to move so your body and feet are at that 45 degrees. You can, but you do have options. Your toes though can twist towards the camera so we can see your face. Or you can keep looking at that 45 degrees, but we want you to shift your face more towards the camera so we can see both eyes. This will look more natural and be engaging to the viewer. Stand tall. Roll your shoulders back. Keep your head up. Engage your core muscles as you stand. This will instantly make you look taller, elongate your neck and your body line, and showcase more of your cosplay. If you need to look down, don't curve your shoulders or slouch. Pretend you are looking over a shelf, not at the ground. This will help with your eyes connecting to the camera. Shift your weight to your back leg. Your body weight shouldn't be split evenly. Put the majority of it on your back leg. This helps create a more flattering S shape with your body. And the pose looks more natural. When you stand at 45 degrees, if your legs are straight or even in a triangle pose, it can look a little too forced. Shifting your legs so the weight is on the back appears more at ease. The weight shift will also help with the next tip. Lean into the camera from the waist. This trick has multiple benefits. It's an instant body slimmer as it makes your waist, hips, and legs look more balanced. It also helps you place your chin in a better spot as it draws your ears forward. This reduces the double chin look and any folds on the neck. And leaning in from the waist provides more opportunities to make triangles. Your front knee may naturally kick forward when you rest on your back leg and you shift your waist to lean in. Use this to create additional triangles with your legs. But what about props? How do you incorporate those? You use the exact same tips. Make triangles with your body. Don't let props cover up your face. That's your connection to the camera and the audience. Pose at a 45 degree angle. Shift your weight to the back leg. Lean in and stand tall. Even if your character's actions are meant to be smaller or not so grandiose, a photographer will move their camera to best capture your pose while encapsulating the character. Let's put everything into practice. Bring your chin and ears forward, aka turtle your neck. This will feel weird, but it's an easy way to remove any concerns for your chin and neck. It produces a refined jawline and we can better see your facial features. You can further enhance your look by tilting your chin down ever so slightly because this helps to slim your face. Now, this only works for front and angle poses, not from side profiles. Angle at a 3/4 profile. Angles will always refine your look and help you appear more natural in front of the camera. Just like in the body section, everything's better with angles. Turn your head to the right or left and allow your nose to be the lead so you are slightly turned away from the camera. Don't show the white of your eyes. One of the key features of your face is your eyes. This is how the viewer will connect with you. By not seeing your irises, you can look, well, weird. Both eyes need to see the camera, even from your peripheral vision. Shift your vision so it's no more than 20 degrees away from the camera. Any more than this and you'll be showing too much of the white of your eyes. You can use an item or a prop, or the photographer can hold up their hand to help you focus off camera. Part your lips slightly for any closed mouth photos. This helps to unclench your jaw. Your face will appear more natural. And you only need to part your lips just less than a centimeter. You don't have to show any teeth. Now to put all of this together. Practice in front of a mirror. The only way you'll get better with your poses is to practice. Try different facial expressions. Learn what side is your best angle. You can tell instantly what works and doesn't work when you see it reflected back at you. If your body feels contorted in your pose, you're probably doing it right. What looks natural and at ease in front of the camera took a lot of planning to get there. You're stretching your neck, twisting your midsection, putting weight on your back leg, tucking your hips under. It feels weird. Feeling like you were twisting in funky ways, that's normal for a nice picture. Now, if something is very uncomfortable or hurting you, stop doing it. Make sure your poses are keeping you safe. Shake it out. Holding a pose, even for a few seconds, can affect the body when you are moving it in ways you don't typically do on a daily basis. You're activating muscles differently. If you feel your body tense up, take a moment to shake it out. Ask the photographer for a couple of seconds while you shake your hands, arms, and legs. Slowly roll your head back and forth along your shoulders. Roll your shoulders slowly. This will help ease the tension in your body and you can get back to posing where it feels and looks more relaxed. We hope this guide will help you get prepped for your next convention or photo shoot. Thanks for watching!
Hopefully that was helpful for you. I know that we've previously had some posing content. I know we filmed some panels at conventions.
Panels, yeah.
Quite a while ago.
Yeah.
Actually, on posing. So it's always good to have updated content.
Something new for us, and it was a different format. It was a lot of fun to put together, a lot of work to put together, but I'm hopeful that everybody will enjoy it and that you can use it for any of those last minute hallway photos. You know exactly what you got to do now.
And it will help make your photos even better, and I think that you'll be happier with them.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that's first and foremost, whenever you have your picture taken as a cosplayer, you should be happy first and foremost.
Yes.
If everybody else is happy, that's just kind of like a cherry on top. But you should be happy with like your accomplishment.
Exactly.
And also, speaking of that, just kind of, this is something that I feel strongly about, so I'm not speaking for Val, I'm not speaking for the podcast, just me, Amber. If you're at a con, take photos of people, please. It makes people feel really good when you ask to take their picture.
It does.
And they won't know if you ever post those pictures, but if you have a cosplayer in the hall and nobody asks to take their picture, I will tell you, as having been that cosplayer before, that they go home feeling really dejected. That, you know, nobody liked my cosplay. Nobody thought I was cool enough to take my picture. So if you have a camera or a phone, please take their picture. You will make someone's day. And it does not take that much effort. That's just kind of like my personal PSA for the day. Make the world a better place.
There you go.
But I believe that that concludes all of our business for this main portion of the episode, does it not?
The big honkin' chunky episode is done. We are complete. Huzzah.
We hope that you learned many things today. Not just one thing, many things. All right. Well, of course, if you would like to join in the conversation, let us know what you learned from this episode, or if there are other things that you would like us to talk about in future episodes. You're welcome to join in the conversation via any of our social media, which, of course, you can find here.
For those who are watching, information is located underneath Amber, as always. For those who are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, on YouTube as Cod Podcast, and on Blue Sky as Cospod.
You can also email us, podcast@cospod.org. where you'll get an answer from each one of us, along with curated Nick Cage memes.
Which have recently been updated, so I've got a new batch.
I can't believe we're still doing this after this many years. Please stay safe, stay healthy out there, keep working on all those lovely cosplays, including those that you may be submitting to cosplay contests, so that we can all see your smiling, shining faces at a convention local to us ASAP. Otherwise, we will see you all next time in episode 292. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Good night.
Bye!